Title of our message this morning is The Whipping Boy. Based on the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 to 5, listen carefully to these beautiful words of Holy Scripture. Surely He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered Him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you in the bulletin. I believe it's a blue insert this morning. As we consider our theme, The Whipping Boy. Growing up in the United States of America, I must confess, I didn't learn a lot about British history. But I well imagine that many people here in Canada don't know a lot about English history either. But still, many of us know the name of King James I. After all, he was the king responsible for that translation of the Bible that bears his name, the King James Version of 1611. But not only was he King James I of England, ever, he was also James VI of Scotland. He was a double king. Now, James must have thought very highly of himself, and we think this because he thought up a political religious doctrine called the Divine Right of Kings. Basically, this doctrine said this: God supports me as the king. If He supports me, He supports my decisions. And anyone who disagrees with me disagrees with God. So, King James reasoned, always do what I say. Now, James was disliked by many of the common people for this kind of thinking. But one person who probably disliked James more than anything else was a common man by the name of William Murray. Who was William Murray? Well, that's a good question. I'll get to him in a minute. But first, let me tell you about King James' son, Charles. James wanted his son Charles to be the future king, and he wanted him to be respected right away by all the people. Yet, like any boy, young Prince Charlie did naughty things. Often, he wouldn't listen to his teachers. But King James would never let any commoner discipline the next king of England. And that's where William Murray came in. Since it was thought improper for a commoner to punish young Prince Charles, they brought a playmate into the palace to play and to learn with Charles. And when Prince Charles was bad, his playmate was smacked in the place of Prince Charles. I imagine the conversation went something like this: Charles, you've been a very naughty, naughty prince. You need to be punished. William Murray, come here. Then there'd be a series of whacks or smacks or whatever discipline was given out in the 1600s. William Murray got clobbered for Prince Charles's naughtiness and disobedience. And when the whacks were completed, I can imagine the teacher turning from William Murray to Prince Charles and saying, "Now, Charlie, did you learn your lesson? Don't you feel bad?" I'm not sure whether Charles felt bad or not, but I'm sure that the whipping boy, William Murray, did. He felt bad and sore and maybe bruised. Today, some 400 years after William Murray got slapped and punished for the sins of another, the phrase whipping boy has not disappeared from our vocabulary. This is probably because we still have whipping boys and whipping girls, people who are still being punished unjustly for the mistakes and sins of others. Have you ever been a student in school and some other student misbehaved, but you got the blame and punishment? You were a whipping boy. Has your husband or wife ever come home after a bad day at work only to treat you badly? You were a whipping boy. Have your parents ever punished you for something your brother or your sister did? You were a whipping boy. Have you ever lost a job or taken a pay and cut because of a dumb decision made by somebody else? You were a whipping boy. Are you unable to socialize with others or enjoy a peaceful home life because someone under your roof is abusing drugs or alcohol? Then you're a whipping boy. When you were young, I'm sure that you, like I, was pretty upset with the fairy tale Cinderella. The girl Cinderella was constantly the whipping boy for her mean stepsisters. Now as adults, our outrage has not disappeared. It's not right in these days and ages that anybody should be a whipping boy for somebody else. Now I'm sure that you would never, never, never make somebody else your whipping boy, would you? At this point in the sermon, there ought to be a small smile forming at the corner of your lips. There should be a smile because I hope you know I just asked you a loaded question. As Christians, we all know that we have a whipping boy. His name is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he's quite different than the William Murray we spoke about earlier. William Murray was punished so that the king's son could remain unscathed. But for us all, the Son of the Heavenly King came and took our punishment so that common sinners like you and me would be spared. Listen again now, with a whole new understanding to the words from Isaiah 53, and think of William Murray, the whipping boy. Speaking of Jesus, Isaiah writes, "Surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we have been healed." In the New Testament, we see how this Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus. Because Jesus became that whipping boy for us. Recall the week of his passion, the last week of his earthly life. See those scarlet strips lay on his back with a whip in our place. See the blood drip down his face as the crown of thorns is thrust upon his head. See and hear those nails pounded into his holy feet and his holy hands as he was crucified for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the world. It should have been our whip. It should have been our crown. It should have been our nails. We're the sinners, not Jesus. We're the one that breaks God's commandments, not Jesus. We're the ones that should be punished, not Jesus. But because God so loves you, because God so loves me, because God so loved the world, he gave his only son, Jesus. And Jesus became our whipping boy. Because of Jesus, your sins are paid for. Your sins are forgiven. Your death is conquered. Your hell is vanquished. Your salvation is won. Jesus died, but he rose from death in glory. And all that he did for you. The speaker on the radio program, The Lutheran Hour, shares this following story. At the close of a battle in World War I, a young man was found dying on the battlefield. A fellow soldier stopped to help him. He gave him water to drink He propped up his head. He prayed for him. And he refused to abandon him. The dying man said, "Please take out of my breast pocket the paper and pencil you'll find there. I want to write a message to my father. He's a very important man." The message he wrote said, "Dear Father, the bearer of this letter cared for me in my life's last moments. He made sure that on that battlefield, I did not die alone. Please receive him and help him. Please do this for me. Please do this for Carl's sake." Well, the man who helped him left the war and found it very hard to get a job when he came home. His meals were few and far between. Finally, out of desperation, he looked up and found Carl's father. As he stood at the door of that fancy and large house, Carl's father thought he was a beggar and wasn't going to give him the time of day. But then the man handed the father the handwritten message by his son Carl, and the man recognized his son's handwriting. His attitude changed as soon as he came across these words, "Father, please do this for him, for Carl's sake." He threw his arms around the soldier, welcomed him into his own home, and from that day treated him like his own son. And he did all of that for Carl's sake. This is a beautiful story. But it pales in comparison with what the Heavenly Father has done for us. Not by choice did Carl die on that battlefield. If he'd been given his choice, he would have returned home healthy and whole. But Jesus, our whipping boy, gave up his life willingly, completely, totally. He wasn't ambushed. He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. He entered this world for the express purpose of dying for the sins of the world in your place and in mine. Carl's father welcomed this soldier who had been kind to his son. Yet the Heavenly Father welcomes into the heavenly home those sinners whose very sins put his son to death. And our Father welcomes us into His arms, not because of anything we have done for Jesus, but only because of what Jesus has done for us. We are freed from our sins. We are made sons and daughters of the King, with all the blessings that come from being welcomed and adopted into His heavenly family. All of this God gives to you and me. All of this God does for you and me. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. And one more time, will you listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah? Speaking of Jesus. "Surely He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. We considered Him stricken by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him. By His wounds we are healed." Today, with all humility, we give God thanks for this wonder of wonders. Jesus is our whipping boy. In the name of Jesus. Amen.